Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Hey, we just want to say welcome. Thank you for worshiping with us today. My name is Craig. I'm the lead pastor here at Casper Faith, and we just hope that even though you're not physically present here, you felt God's presence in your living room, wherever you're at today, just worshiping Him. Thanks for joining us. Just to let you know, we will be continuing to live stream our services next Sunday, and we're kind of going week to week as we make decisions on public gatherings just because the situation is changing so differently. And so we want you to just to be aware of that. Keep track of what's taking place on our Casper Faith Facebook page. You can keep up to date there all the time. And we are continuing ministry to youth and children on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 a.m. You can go to our Facebook page, and Pastor Daniel is going to be sharing some things for children's ministry. Monday's just going to be a video, but Wednesday and Friday, there's going to be some live interaction that the kids can participate in that. And then for the youth ministry, for the times on that, just go to the Casper Faith Youth Facebook page, and you can keep up to date on what is taking place at that time. We want to encourage you to invite your family and friends to watch part of our live stream feed, and we hope that next week it'll be accessible through our website, that you can just go to the media page, and you can catch it right there, and also on YouTube. So we're working on each week trying to make this better and better, as this is kind of new for all of us. Now, some of you may be wondering, how do I continue to give during this time, during this season? And Pastor Zach is coming to help us navigate through that. Pastor Zach.
Thank you, Pastor Craig. Yeah, so I would just like to be able to share with you guys this morning a little bit on how you guys can give and some new things that we've implemented. But before I do that, I want to share just Matthew chapter 6 with you guys, something that's always stuck with me ever since I was in master's commission when I was in college. What it was is it talks about worrying, right? It talks about how we worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and all these different things and what we're going to wear. And Jesus says that if the birds of the air, who neither have to toil nor sow, nor, and all they have to do is just reap, right? They just go out and they look for what they need, and it's there, right? And if they're clothed, right? And if he does the same for the grass and the trees, and they have everything that they need, and they don't need to fight for it, how much more is he going to take care of us? How much more is he going to take care of his people, right? So he tells us not to worry. He's trying to tell us not to worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow, what we're going to eat the next day. And yes, we need to be wise about our finances and everything that we have, especially during these times. But what I've noticed the most is that when you give to God's kingdom, right, he provides for his people. He provides for those who provide for his kingdom. So there are a couple ways to be able to give this morning that you can do it. And the best way is to be able to give online. Your other way is to be able to mail a check directly to the church. We would be happy to receive it that way. We will process it, no problem. But giving online, you can go straight to our Facebook page. There is a Give tab up at the top. Go ahead and select Give, and then there's a form for you to go ahead and fill out. If you want to be able to create an account so it remembers your information, so that way it remembers either your debit card, credit card, or even your bank account, we can do directly from your bank account right to our bank account. And it's very simple, it's very easy, and it's very affordable. So there's always fees and different things that go on with this as well, and almost everybody knows that. But when it comes to ACH, e-check, which is what it shows on the form, it's only 25 cents. We're only charged 25 cents. That's a very minimal fee that we're processed, where it's a 2.75% charge if it's on your debit or credit card. So all you have to do is create an account. You can sign up, log in, and then it remembers your information. You may make it reoccurring, or you can change it every week, however you would like to be able to do it. You can pull it up on your smartphone, from a computer, anywhere, directly to our website. And so we would just love for you to be able to do it that way, and we hope that you enjoy it.
Thank you, Pastor Zach, for getting this up and running. And by the way, if you do decide to go credit or debit card, there is a place on there that you can pay for the extra fee that's part of that. And so that's something you can consider. Well, it's a little bit different here in this room this morning, and I think everything is really different this week. And earlier this week, I was at Sam's Club, and I was fortunate to arrive just as the truck had come in. I don't know how long before, but they were putting toilet paper out, all right? So I got some toilet paper, and as I went to go around to the rest of the store, complete my shopping, get my things, I noticed that there were several carts that had toilet paper in them. And when I got up to the cashiers, to the checkout, and I'm standing there waiting in line, and it was quite a line, but I noticed that probably 75% of the carts had toilet paper in them. And honestly, I can't remember seeing so much toilet paper in shopping carts in all of my life. But you know, that's just how life has changed with this pandemic crisis that we're going through right now. And so many things have changed. You can't go to a sit-down restaurant and eat out anymore. Movie theaters are closed. You can't just run to the grocery store and find what you want. There's a good chance it might be gone. And because of this, all this change causes different things. I tell you, it's different for me this morning. Preaching in an almost vacant room, that is a big change for me. I know it was a change for our worship team, worshiping to an almost vacant room. And sometimes when change takes place, we can feel like this uncertainty that what is going on. But friends, I want you to realize that God never changes. We're told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just because our life has changed does not mean that God has changed. Friends, God is the same this Sunday as he was last Sunday. Last Sunday, you were here in this building. You were worshiping with a whole bunch of other people. And you know that corporate worship experience? I love that. There's synergy there. Synergy is when the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Today, we're in parts. We're in different places, different locations. And you are worshiping by yourself. And there's something when we all come together and the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. But here's the thing. God did not change from last Sunday to this Sunday. God has not changed from today compared to a year ago when you knew nothing about the coronavirus. God does not change with our seasons. He doesn't change with our situations. He doesn't change if things are good or if things are bad. God stays the same. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's just as loving. He's just as faithful. He's just as caring. He's just as powerful as he always has been. We get into problems when we begin to base our faith upon our feelings. We begin to determine the level of our relationship with God by how we feel instead of what God says and what God has done for us. When we do that, We sense this distance in our lives. We wonder, you know, does God really care? Is God concerned about me? Does he love me? Can I depend upon him? Don't let your emotions determine your pursuit of Jesus, okay? I want you to hear that. Don't let your emotions determine your pursuit of Jesus, how passionately you follow Christ. Don't let feelings and situations dictate how you think God loves and cares about you. That level of relationship that you have with God is not based on the vibe that you have at this moment or how well life is going for you, because friends, if we do that, that cheapens what Jesus has done for us. That cheapens what Jesus has done for us. It makes it about us and not about him. And here's the thing. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life so that we could be forgiven of our sin and we could have a relationship with God, that we could have access into God's presence, not only in heaven in the future, but we could have access to God right now. And when we base our relationship with God on how we feel, that cheapens the sacrifice of Christ. This morning, I want us to look at the life of a man who had to wrestle with his feelings. He had to wrestle with his feelings when he was facing the greatest crisis, the greatest challenge of his life. The biggest battle was in front of him. And we're going to look at Joshua. So you can flip to your Bibles or go to YouVersion on Joshua chapter 1 this morning. And as we do, we're going to eventually end up in Joshua chapter 5. But this gives us some backstory. Picking it up in verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses.'" So Moses is getting ready to enter into the promised land. Excuse me, not Moses. Joshua is getting ready to enter into the promised land with the children of Israel. Moses had died. Now that's significant because for the past 40 years, Moses has been the leader of Israel. And so Joshua is new at leading. He's been fighting battles before, but now he's the top dog. He's in charge, and that created some uncertainty. And I just want us to do a little bit of backstory on Moses, because if we don't understand how God called Moses and what he did through Moses, we're going to miss the significance of what God did for Joshua. So 40 years earlier, Moses was a shepherd on the backside of a desert. And one day he was taking care of his sheep. Excuse me. He was taking care of his sheep, and there was a burning bush. He turned aside to look at this bush, and in the midst of it, God spoke to him. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. God said, "Don't draw near to this place. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now, here's a question for you. Why a bush? Why did God pick a shrub? I mean, Jewish scholars have debated this. They says, you know, why didn't God speak to him from a thunderclap or a lightning bolt? That would have been more impressive. And why did God speak on the backside of the desert? Why not in a palace? Why not in a pyramid? And they came to the conclusion that the reason God spoke to Moses at the bush was to show that no place is devoid of God's presence. God is everywhere. Even in the most distant, desolate place, God is there. In fact, Jewish scholars gave God a name based upon this, and they called God the place, because they said God is here, God is there, God is everywhere. God is the place. No matter what place you go to, God is there, he's the place. He can meet you in a church service, or he can meet you in your living room or in your bedroom. If you stayed in your pajamas and you're watching in bed this morning, hopefully you're not in the bathroom, all right? But God can meet you anywhere. Yeah, even the bathroom, the garage, wherever you might be, God can meet with us. He said, "Don't draw near this place. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now, why did he have him take off his sandals? What's the significance to that? Well, many things. First of all, taking off your sandals is an act of humility. It was an act of humility. Secondly, it was an act of worship. It was an act of worship. Next, it was a way of acknowledging your total dependence on God. I want you to think about it this morning. When you get ready to leave the house and go to work, maybe you're going to go shopping or, you know, go for a workout, go for a walk. What do? To get ready? You put your shoes on. When you get ready to leave, you put your shoes on and you go. You do your business, whatever it is, and then you come back home, and what do? You take your shoes off. You kick back, you rest, you relax. And so when God says, Moses, I want you. I want you to take your sandals off. God was saying, I want you to rest in me to accomplish this. I'm going to have you go back to Egypt, the land that you fled. You're going to do incredible miracles. I am going to set the children of Israel free. Pharaoh is going to eventually let you go. You're going to come out of the land. I'm going to give you guys a fortune. I'm going to restore the fortunes that you lost for the 400 years of slavery. God said, I'm going to take care of you. But as you do, you need to realize I'm going to do it, not you. Now Moses, he had to confront Pharaoh. He had to do a lot of different things. So it's not like he just kicked back, relaxed, and said, okay, God, take over. You've got it. No, he didn't do that. He had to work, but as he worked, he had total dependence upon God. And so, friends, when we take off our sandals, it means, God, I'm humbling myself. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to depend upon you to do everything I need you to do. And there's one last significant thing about taking off your sandals. It represented removing any obstacles that are between you and God. Because you have to realize, God said, where you're standing, this right here is holy ground. Where you're standing right now, that's holy ground. And so the ground was holy, but Moses wasn't actually touching the ground. His sandals were touching the ground. And God said to Moses, I want you to take your sandals off because I want you to touch the place. I want you to touch me where I am at. I want you to remove any obstacle from your life. And that's what God is saying to us. Remove the obstacles. Because you see, God has a plan for you and I. Just as he had a destiny for Moses, God has a destiny for us, his church, during this time. And for us to accomplish it, we have to take off our sandals, humble ourselves, worship God, totally depend upon him, and remove any obstacle from our life that is keeping us from drawing near to God. Now, let's transition. That's the backstory of Moses. Joshua, he was Moses' assistant. He had probably heard that story dozens of times about taking off your sandals and the call, and he knew what had taken place. He had seen the powerful miracles that God worked through Moses. And now it's his time. Moses is dead. He is to lead the children of Israel into the promised land to finish what Moses started. And this land wasn't just any land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey and giants. Yeah, if you know the Bible stories, you know it was filled with giants. And here's the thing. Those same giants prevented the children of Israel 40 years before from entering the promised land. They saw those giants. They were afraid. They rebelled against God, and they refused to enter in. And now Joshua is facing those same giants. He's getting ready to face the biggest battle of his life. The greatest challenge he's ever encountered is in front of Joshua. And so, what does he do? What does he do? How does he feel? Now, when I think of Joshua, I many times think of him as being a big, strong warrior, mighty man of God. But Joshua was afraid. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Scripture hints at it. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. After he says, hey, Moses is dead, you're going to go in, you're going to lead the people. Verse 5, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, Joshua, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and have good courage. For to this people, the people of Israel, you're going to divide the land as an inheritance that I swore to their fathers to give them. God is telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. He says, don't be afraid. He says, I will be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pep talk to me. That sounds like a pep talk. Here's the thing. You don't tell someone to be strong and courageous if they're bold and confident. You tell someone to be strong and courageous if they're feeling a little apprehensive, if they're a little worried, if they're a little anxious. That's when they need to hear that. And God spoke that to him, not just in verse 5, but in verse 7. Take a look. He says it again, only be strong and courageous. And now God is going to tell him, in addition to that, if you want to be successful in your endeavor to fulfill your destiny, take the promised land, there's something else you have to do. Verse 8, he says, be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. God says, Joshua, you have got to obey me. You just can't live however you want to live. You've got to follow me, and not just follow me, but you need to observe all that I've commanded you. You need to know my promises, my principles, my commandments, and you need to do it all. And here's the thing, you need to go after me. And he says, I want you to meditate, not just think about it here and there, but meditate on it day and night. In other words, fill your mind with my word. Those promises I've given you, those commands, those principles I want you to live by, fill your life with them and let them be your guide. Follow me completely. And then after he gives them those words and instruction, he goes to verse 9 and he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and have good courage. Don't be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Not once, not twice, but three times God says, be strong, be of good courage, don't be afraid. Why? Because Joshua was afraid. You know, I've seen in my life sometimes when people hit difficult circumstances, instead of them going after God and trusting God and obeying God and following God, what happens to them is they stop their pursuit of God. In some situations, they get mad at God. They just chuck their faith away. They throw in the towel and they just quit and they go back to what their life was like before they knew Christ. But then there's other people, man, they had a passion. They had a desire. They were going after God. But when life takes a left turn, what happens to them is that they still follow God, but that passion, that commitment, that dedication they once had, it's not there. That fervency is diminished. And so they just begin to live kind of a lukewarm, casual life. God's not really all in all to them. And I've seen them miss out on God's destiny and God's promises, on all that he has for them. Friends, if we're going to be prosperous and successful, then we've got to be all in. Whether life is going well, whether it's not going well, we've got to be all in on God and realize that he is the place, he's here with us, so we can be strong, we can be courageous, because the Lord our God is with us. So now I want us to transition. That's the backdrop of Joshua getting ready to enter the promised land. Flip to Joshua chapter 5, all right? Joshua chapter 5, and when you go there, you see that the Lord has given the men of Israel a command, and it's really a command to be circumcised. And that was the covenant sign God gave to Abraham. That was a sign God gave to Abraham, and we read about it in Joshua 5:5 that the people who came out of Egypt, when they were slaves in Egypt, they came out of Egypt and they had been circumcised, but all those children who were born for the 40 years in between, they hadn't been circumcised, so they needed to be circumcised. And we're told in Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah tells us what was symbolic of circumcision. It wasn't just a silly, meaningless act, but there was symbolism behind it. He says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts. You see, God wanted his people to follow his spirit, not their fleshly desires. And foreskin was, the circumcision was a sign of removing the flesh. And God says, I want you to remove the flesh from your life. Before you take this promised land, you need to be people that are guided by my spirit. And so here's Joshua in chapter 5, right before he's ready to take on his biggest battle. We're going to pick it up in verse 13. It says, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up, he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or are you for our enemies? Now, you know what? If I see a big guy with a sword and he looks like a mighty warrior and I'm going to be in a fight, I think that's a good question. I want to know whose side you're on. And this was his response. He says, neither. In other words, hey, I'm not on your side, I'm not on their side. I'm on God's side. He said, as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now. You know, many people believe this was Jesus because Jesus is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the armies of heaven. And so Jesus appeared to Joshua. And what he's basically saying is that, Joshua, you need to realize you're not in charge here. You're not the commander. You're not the one who's the boss. It's not going to be your strategies that you're going to win this battle. It's not going to be by your tactics, by your efforts. Yes, you got to go out and fight, but you need to depend upon me. You need to align yourself with me during this time. And what was Joshua's response? It says, he fell down, face down on the ground in reverence, and he asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And in verse 15, I love this verse. When I realized this, it sent goosebumps up and down in my spine. Get ready for this. It says, the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Does that sound familiar? Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. You bet it does. And I can't imagine what happened to Joshua, the confidence that surged in him when the commander of the army said, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. I can just have Joshua, wait a second, I know that. I've heard that story. I remember 40 years ago when God spoke to Moses. He said, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. And then God used him in a mighty way to bring deliverance, to bring victory, to bring hope. And those words that God spoke to Moses, God is speaking to me today. And friends, Joshua knew that the same God who spoke to Moses 40 years earlier, who had the power and the might and the majesty, was the same God speaking to him as he is facing the greatest challenge of his life, the biggest battle. God was with him in this place. You know, we're facing a huge battle, a great challenge. But we need to realize that God is with us in our place, wherever we find ourselves. God will take care of us. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be beaten down by what you see going on around you. Trust in God. But here's the key. We need to take off our sandals because the place where we're standing is holy. Let's pray together this morning. Lord God, I thank you for the encouragement we have in your word. I pray today that you would help us to walk in strength, courage, and victory, not in fear, not in doubt or panic. I pray that each of us would put you in charge, be the commander of our lives. This morning, I want to ask you a question, and that is simply, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? As you've been listening this morning, what is God speaking to your heart? We've talked about taking off your sandals. What does that mean for you in your context? For some of you this morning, maybe it means you need to rely upon God instead of living in fear. Maybe you're fearful about what's going to happen. You're worried. Friends, God is unchanged. He is the same today as he's always been. So don't let worry consume you. Don't let panic paralyze you. Don't let anxiety bind you up in a prison. Trust God in this time. He's your rock. He's your fortress. He's your shield in the midst of the chaos. No matter what happens, God is the same. He's unchanged. He's a constant. You can depend on him. So get rid of your fear and trust in God. For some of us today, taking off our sandals means removing the obstacles that are in our lives, the things that we've allowed to become between God and us. And maybe for some of us today, That's bad choices that you've made, and you're persisting in living them. And you know you've taken a wrong direction, a wrong turn, but you keep going down that road, that path, and God is saying you need to turn from it. For others of you, maybe you've entered into wrong relationships that are dragging you down spiritually, and you need to sever those ties because they're not lifting you up and helping you follow God to lead you to the promises that He has in store for you. Some of us, we're not living in full obedience. Yeah, we're Christians, we love God, but there's different areas of our life that maybe God has spoken to us about, and we're resisting in our obedience to Him. We're being the commanders of our lives. Maybe some of us were following our fleshly desires. We need to circumcise our hearts today. Friends, whatever those obstacles are, we need to get rid of them. We need to stop having the plan for our life and saying, God, bless my plan. Instead, we need to set our plan aside and say, Lord, You're the commander. I'm going to follow You. You're going to be in charge. If God is speaking to you about some obstacle between you and Him, I encourage you to begin to confess that and just get rid of that. Rid your life of those things that are keeping you from close to God. And then last of all, maybe some of you this morning, you're not Christians. You're not followers of Christ. You see, maybe you've been calling the shots. You've been in charge. You've been the commander. And here's the thing, Jesus wants to be first. There can be no other commanders in our lives. And maybe it's in this season where life is out of control, you're realizing that you are not in control. And you're panicked and you're fearful, you don't know what to do. Friends, you need to surrender the leadership of your life to God. That's how you take off your sandals. You simply confess your sin. You see, all of us have sinned. All of us have done wrong. All of us have lied. We've lusted. We've hoarded. We've been selfish. We've been bitter. The list could go on and on, but all of us have sinned, and our sin is what keeps us from a relationship with God. Isaiah says that our iniquities, they separate us. But God loves us so much that He sent Jesus to die for our sin. And if we ask God to forgive us of our sin, then He will forgive us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful. He's just. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can depend upon that as we make Him the Lord of our life. So you confess your sin, and then you confess Jesus as being the Lord. That's a Bible term for leader or commander. And you say, God, I'm going to let You be in charge. I'm going to follow Your ways. I want You to guide me. And this morning, we're going to wrap things up with a prayer. And as I say this prayer, I'd like all of us to say it together, even you at home. I'd like you to say it out loud. And whatever parts of the prayer relate to your life, apply them to you as we pray together. Join me now. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are unchanged. You loved us when You died on the cross. And You love us now. Thank You for not changing that. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive me of my selfishness for being in charge. I surrender my life. You are my commander. Lead me. Give me peace. I put my trust in You. Thank You, Lord, that You're in control. Guide me now for Your ways. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.